Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Acts 16:6, this is the word of the Lord for the Lord's people today. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray together. Father, help us this morning as we do our best to preach the gospel here at Second Mile. Pour out your Spirit on us. Enliven us. Quicken our spirits. Give us understanding. Teach us from your word. And then God, empower us to say yes to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever sensed that the Lord was closing a door in your life, maybe closing a door on you? Have you ever sensed that before and you knew that He was doing something different and something that you'd been a part of was kind of going away? And you found yourself kind of in a time of anxiety, not knowing what was coming next? I went through a major time like that in my life back in 1992. I knew God was closing a door in my life. And I didn't know exactly what He was doing, but for the last 8 or 9 years, I'd been doing something I loved to do. I was in the hotel business out on Wilma Rudolph Boulevard. And at the time, it was just us and the Holiday Inn. The mall wasn't even out there. Things began to take place and grow, and Mr. Harry Covington taught me the hotel business from the ground up, and I worked in all the departments and everything. And then a few years later, he sold out to a company out of Boston, and they came down and talked to us and bought the property and asked me to serve as their general manager there. And so that's what I'd been doing for the last 4 years. But in 1992, my boss, the owner of our hotel, also had a lot of other properties around the country. And he hired a management team to take care of all of his hotels and all of his properties and golf courses and everything. And so they took over, and I quit dealing with Mr. Heller. And I loved that guy. He was a Jewish fella. And boy, you should have heard some of our conversations. They were really good. But I love that guy. But when he sold out, when he hired this management team to take care of all of his assets and all that, things changed dramatically. And in a course of a few months, I began to realize that God was closing a door in my life. I mean, these guys, they were late paying their mortgage every month. And after a while, about a year and a half later, we were almost 2 years in arrears on our property taxes. And the hotel needed some remodeling and refurbishing, and they wouldn't spend a dime on it. They had told me to let go some valuable employees to get rid of them. And it was one crooked deal after the next. And I just began to realize, you know what, I'm not fitting in here anymore. And by this time now, I had four mouths to feed, that and included my big mouth. And there wasn't any other openings in town. And so I'm wondering, what is God doing? This door was closing, and I didn't understand why or what, because I loved what I was doing. Those of you that really know me know I'm a people person. And I really enjoyed doing what I'd been doing. A door was closing. That's what's going on here in this text with the Apostle Paul. They were on their second missionary journey. He was with Timothy and Silas. This second missionary trip that they had engaged in, they had tremendous excitement. There was a real sense of clarity and vision and direction for where they were going. They were moving now from west to east, and they're moving up the Aegean Sea and hopefully moving it into Asia Minor, the Roman province of Asia. We call Asia Minor. And so, and they're ministering the word to people and strengthening and encouraging existing churches as they're going. And then they're going into different population centers and just sharing the gospel with thousands of people. However, the vision began to get kind of vague, and God began to close some doors. And you can even sense Paul's outright questions and doubts about what God was doing in this passage of Scripture. And what I've come here today to tell y'all is this. Whenever God's closing one door, He's getting ready to open another door of opportunity. Oftentimes a closed door is not a denial, it's a delay. And God's working behind. How many of you know God works behind the scenes and we can't always tell what He's doing? But let me tell you, God never ceases to work. He's always working. And by the way, He knows what He's doing. I said He knows what He's doing. We don't always know what we're doing, but He always knows what He's doing. Are y'all with me now? And so let's look at this closed door that the Apostle Paul and the mission team is running into in Asia Minor. I want us to look at two things specifically here, the ministry of the saints and the ministry of the Spirit. Now, look again there at verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Now, what we've got this mission team, this ministry team, and they're moving northeast toward Asia. And everywhere they went, they saw needs. There were thousands of people that needed to hear the gospel. I mean, the fields were ripe unto harvest. Everywhere they went, it was like they were either, well, here's what they were doing. They were reaching people and they were teaching people. Does that sound familiar? Three of you. Our mission statement is reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. And that's what's going on here with this mission team. Everywhere they go, there are people that need the Lord. They were finding people that were hurting. They knew that was their mission field. And it began right there at home. And then they're trying to get to Asia, which they thought they were supposed to get into Asia and start spreading and sharing the gospel there. And I want to tell you, Second Mile Church, it is so important that we understand where our mission field is. And it begins right here in Clarksville, Tennessee. It begins here in Montgomery County. Now, it doesn't stop there because then it moves. Our mission field is the state of Tennessee. And then North America, Canada, and the U.S. And then the uttermost parts of the world. Our mission field is planet Earth. Hello? But it begins right here in Montgomery County. I think it was Roger Freeman that I've heard say this before. The light that shines the farthest is the light that shines brightest at home. And we need to share the gospel light like there's no tomorrow here in Montgomery County. We need to be spreading the good news of Jesus Christ right here. When you've got 86% of the people that we live with that are unchurched, that don't have a church home, that don't have a church family, there's work to be done. And we've got to keep our feet in the field and our hands on. I'm doing some decent preaching, y'all. We need to keep our feet in the field and our hands on the plow. Amen? This is our mission field. And so that was the ministry of the saints. But then the text describes the ministry of the capital S, Spirit. Been preaching on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's involved in this, in the tenor and tone of this text here. It says there, the latter part of verse 6, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, Paul and his mission team had their hearts set on moving into Asia. They're heading northeast now, up the Aegean coast, and they're wanting to go on over into Asia. And they're in Mysia now, and the Holy Spirit says, stop! No. Don't go there. It's not time. How many of you know God's timing is perfect? It's much better than ours. And so they said, well, okay, maybe we need to move in a little bit different direction. And then they come to Mysia. And then they tried to go into this well-populated city of Bithynia. A lot of people there. But again, the Holy Spirit would not allow that. And he had another plan for them. In other words, God's closing the door for Paul and them to go into Asia Minor to share the gospel. Now, we know that God did eventually let Paul. Remember, Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, founded a great church. How many of you have read about the letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3? So we know that God allowed Paul and his team eventually to move on into Asia Minor, and there were churches founded there, and the gospel was shared in a powerful way. But it wasn't the right time, and so he's closing that door there, and the Spirit of... Now, how did Paul know the Spirit of God was speaking to him? How do you know? By the way, the Spirit of God still speaks. Well, back in the day, often God would speak through a prophet or give a prophetic utterance. At other times, the Spirit of God would make himself well known in a dream or a vision. And then at other times, the Spirit of God would just, that still small voice would whisper in your heart. And then sometimes external circumstances would bring weight to a different direction that you needed to go in. I don't know exactly how the Apostle Paul knew that the Spirit of God was speaking. I don't know exactly how he knew that, but I can tell you this. Paul was spirit sensitive and prayer saturated. Let me say that one more time. Paul was spirit sensitive. In other words, he was open, he was listening, he was alert. He was wanting. By the way, God does not play hide and seek with his will. What happens many times is God's first of all looking at my heart and in my spirit to see if I'm willing to do what he's wanting me to do. And if I'm not willing, guess what? I'm not going to get his will. He's not going to tell me to go do something when he knows I'm going to be disobedient. Now, he has a way of working that out, too. How many of you know that? And so, he's prayer-saturated, and he's spirit-sensitive. I want to tell y'all again, I'm going to beat this drum until we get it right. Prayer is the greatest need in this church. Praying together. Corporate prayer. Most all of you pray individually, I think. But coming together, there's power in prayer. And so the Spirit of God speaking to Paul, and Paul knows it. But you know, I don't know, I'm assuming there might be one or two of y'all kind of like me when God closes a door. How many of you have ever tried to stick your foot in the door to keep it from closing? Come on. Or even worse, you go find another door and you try to bust that door down yourself. Right? When you don't know exactly what God's doing, and the Spirit of God seems to be changing something, and it seems as if He's closing a door in your life, and there's other options out there, you know what the best thing to do is? Wait. How many of y'all like to do that? Now, there's two different responses to this kind of thing. And one is to act like the mule. Y'all know how hard-headed a mule is? Stubborn. Just sits there on his haunches. Not going to move me. I'm staying right here. I'm kind of like the horse, though. I got to do something. And I'll get out in front of God. Because don't you know He needs my help, you know? Right? Y'all quit looking all spiritual at me. We all do this. And so Paul's listening for the Spirit of God because he knows God's call. He knows that God's changing direction here. And so isn't it amazing to us how sometimes we struggle knowing exactly what and where it is that God wants out of us? The apostles even struggle with that from time to time. But when that happens, we wait on the Lord. Now, there always comes a time when it's time to quit waiting. You can't wait for years and years and years, right? So, God's closing this door in Asia Minor because He's about to open a door into Europe. And this is what I wanted to get to. Look at verse 8. There's an open door in Europe. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And when God's closing a door, you need to simply trust God's leading. You need to trust Him that He knows what He's doing. And so this missionary group, this mission team must have been scratching their head. God, I don't get this. We're supposed to share the gospel. There's thousands of lost people up in here. Why are we not supposed to go up in there? And now they're moving away from the well-populated cities of Bithynia, and they're going back down and that's Mysia is kind of backwoods territory. And they're heading down to Troas, which just happens to be the port city to head up into Macedonia. Y'all know what would we call Macedonia today? Modern day Europe. Your ancestors. Is the light bulb coming on for you? And so, God's opening a door now for them to go west, northwest. Up into Europe. And you know, when you don't know, I don't know who came up with this, but someone said a while back, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. When you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. I believe Paul probably believed Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. King Solomon wrote that. Trust in the Lord. With all, lean not unto thine own under, but in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He'll direct your path. Let me read it again. Let me quote it again. Trust in the Lord with half your heart. All your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what will He do? He'll show you which way to go. He'll direct your path. And so the mission team, although they don't understand what's going on, they're just trusting God's leadership. And so now He's leading Paul and his team up into Europe, not into Asia. And so I know that as they begin to sail across the Aegean Sea into Troas, that city port that opened up into Europe, I would imagine Paul's thinking, you know what, God's about to do something awesome. I don't know what, I don't know when, I don't know where, but God's moving. And so they're just, and you know what that says to me? If you don't know what's going on or what God's doing right now, it's okay. He's got the whole world in His, He's got the, in His hands, He's got in His hands, He's got the whole. I'm looking at some of y'all up here on the front row, and y'all going, somebody might hear me singing. When you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. God knows what he's doing. And then the mission team is listening for God's call. They don't know exactly where and what. And so they're trusting the Lord's leadership step by step. And they're listening. Now look at verse 9. They're listening for God's call. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he'd seen the vision, that's Paul, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so through some type of vision, a dream in the middle of the night, God sent an urgent call to Paul and his team to come over to Macedonia. That's modern day Europe. And evidently, y'all, who wrote the book of Acts? Do you remember? Luke. And did you see that plural pronoun there in verse 10? Immediately, we saw. And so now Luke has joined the team. You know what that says to me? Whatever God calls you to, He'll equip you for. Whatever God calls you to, He'll equip you for. Well, let me tell y'all. Whatever God calls you to, He'll equip you for. He'll give you the people. He'll give you the resources. He'll give you whatever you need to get done what He's calling you to do. And then once you do what He called you to do and He supplies all you need, He's going to even reward you. How are you going to beat God? Whew. Now, once Paul shared that experience with his team there in verse 10, man, it galvanized them to evangelize Europe. And I'm so thankful that Paul and his mission team not only trusted God's leading, but they listened and followed God's call. And because they did, I've been born again. My ancestors come from Europe. And most of y'all's do too. Not all of you, but most of you. Aren't you thankful that Paul followed the call of God into Europe and shared the good news? Well, somebody smile. Somebody shout hallelujah. I wonder what their theme song was. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever. We used to sing that old invitational song. Y'all remember that? Well, I want to tell you, wherever God calls you to go, He's going to get up and go with you. And He's going to supply every single need you've got. And I'm thankful. And by the way, and go they did, and preach they did. When you start reading down through this chapter of Scripture, David, Paul met a real prominent woman in Philippi by the name of Lydia. They were going to a prayer meeting down on the river. Read this stuff. I'm not making it up. What a novel idea to have a prayer meeting down on the river. And he met this lady named Lydia. And she surrendered her heart and life to Christ. And then you read on a little bit more, and Paul and Silas wind up in jail. But you know what? Remember what God did with that? I mean, there was a Philippian jailbreak. You need to read about it. And I'm so blessed that they followed God's call. They wound up going to Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth. And because they did, Europe was evangelized. Hallelujah. Oh, to be safe in the center of God's will. Did you know you guys would we would be safer crossing the street in Afghanistan in the center of God's will than crossing the street in downtown Clarksville out of God's will? About the time that God was closing that door, out at the Best Western. I got another call. Y'all remember Brother Shep? Y'all know where Woodlawn is? There's a First Baptist Woodlawn church out there. And they needed someone to come and begin a youth ministry out there. They had two teenagers at the time at First Baptist Woodlawn. Now, Mike Rainey and I had a Cracker Jack college ministry going on, didn't we, Mike, at First Baptist? I mean, I was thrilled. I mean, I was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, and I was loving it, having a great time. And Diana was ministering in the nursery with the little children. She was the star that year in the Christmas choir cantata, or whatever they called that thing. But I knew God was calling us to go out there and help them. And in about 2 years, we wound up with about 28 teenagers. And Brother Shep started turning the Sunday night service over to the young people. And guess who got to start preaching every Sunday night? And it was through that experience that God called me into full-time Christian vocational ministry. And I had people telling me I was crazy for leaving that good-paying job at the hotel. But you see, God closed that door. And when He did, He opened another door of tremendous opportunity. I came here to tell you this morning, a closed door is really a door of opportunity for God to be glorified in your life. Maybe there's a door closing in your life right now. Can I just say to you, wait on the Lord. Trust His leading. And when He calls, you walk through that door of opportunity. Let's pray together. Father, I don't know who this word was for today. Maybe it was for me. I certainly received it and say thank you. But I believe there's many in the room this morning and they're struggling with your will right now. Not sure, but a door seems to be closing. And God, just give them the faith to wait on you until they hear from you. And then when they do hear from you, immediately, they will not only listen to your call, they'll follow your call. And Lord, this church here is not about a seating capacity. It is about a sending capacity. This is a kingdom-minded church. We're not about trying to see how many folks we can keep here. We've got to get out where the ministry is, outside the four walls of the church. And so, God, would you continue to open up doors of opportunity for us so that we can proclaim and teach and share the gospel with people? Would you do that, Lord? We promise to give you all the praise for it. And if you're here this morning, let me just share the good news with each one of you. The Bible says we've all got an issue, we've all got a problem, and that problem is sin. Sin is doing something wrong, and you know it's wrong, and you choose to do it anyway. Well, immediately when that happens, the Bible says we're separated from God because He's holy. And His own nature causes Him to have to judge sin. But here's how much God loves you. He loves sinners. And He sent His Son to pay the price for all of our sin. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. And that's how He was able to go to a cross and make the payment, take our punishment for our sin. He was perfect in every way. But a dead Savior doesn't save anybody from their sins. And so you know what Jesus did? 3 days later, He got up from the grave. And he is alive today. And he's still being seen by the eyes of faith. And it just may be that you're here today and you need to call on the Lord. And if you'll call on him, turn from your sin and turn to Christ, receiving him by faith, the Bible says you can walk out of here a born-again believer today. And you begin a brand new life of obedience and following him. If you just pray right there where you are and ask God to forgive you and trust what Jesus did for you, and surrender your heart and life to him, God will save you right where you sit. I promise you that. Then you need to begin a life of obedience, and you'll have his Spirit to live that way. I want you to tell me before you leave here that you did that today. If you want to come forward, I'll be glad to share more with you. We'll have a counselor pray over you. But I think the majority of us in here need to totally surrender and sell out to whatever it is God's calling us to do. He's closing a door, but he's opening another door. And we need to walk in it by faith. Oh God, during this time of response and invitation, don't let us slip away. Help us to say yes to Jesus. In your name we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.